أعوذ بالله من همزات الشياطين وأعوذ بالله أن يحضرون إنه هو السميع العليم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك اللهم لعن الإصابة التي جاحدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله اللهم لعنهم جميعا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد فقد قال مولانا أبو عبد الله إمام الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام أما بعد فإني لا أعلم أصحابا أوفى ولا خيرا من أصحابي ولا أهل بيت أبر ولا أوصل من أهل بيتي فجزاكم الله عني خيرا درود بيت محمد وآل محمد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of the hadith qudsi he mentioned that ala fi ayyam dahrikum nafahatun fatarassadu that in your days and nights that you are passing by there are some breeze which is flowing and it is your responsibility to catch those beautiful things that are there. Now these days that we are passing like Muharram and Safar, sometimes the nights which is passing by like the night of the Shab-e-Juma that is known or the day of the Friday that is there, all these days, nights that are passing by, in these days and nights always there are opportunities for us to think about ourselves, to evaluate ourselves. To do the proper muhasabah of our action, our deeds and our thoughts so that we know that are we fulfilling our responsibilities at the true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or no? Are we doing or are we going in the right direction for which we are created or no? So don't pass these days and nights as the ordinary days and nights. Sometimes these opportunities are there. It is on us that how we are getting maximum from these opportunities. When suppose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq to come and attend the Dua-e Kumail of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Don't convert these recitation into a routine that is okay, every Thursday you have to do and come and recite Dua-e Kumail and go back. No. These statements that we are saying from our tongue when we are saying that man li ghayruk ilahi wa rabbi man li ghayruk, this is not a simple sentence that we are saying with our tongue. It is contain a lot of meaning in it. When we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that oh Allah, that if you send me na'uzu billah to the hell on the day of judgment, I will call you with my tongue that ya waliyal mu'mineen. أَيْنَ كُنْتْ يَا وَلِيَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَا غَايَةَ أَمَالِ الْعَارِفِينَ يَا غِيَاثَ الْمُسْتَغِثِينَ That we are calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if I will be there in that specific state. I will call you like this. Try to feel, why not we try to feel ourselves in that state right now? If we are in this world, start feeling that we are in the hell right now. I am burning in my sins right now. I will call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this. I do not have to wait that day of judgment that will come and I will call like this. No. Imam Ali is talking to us that we have to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this, that we are in the hell right now. We are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam alayhi salam in Dua Kumail, he mentioned that, O Allah, that if I sabartu ala harri narik, fakayfa asbiru ala firaqik. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if possible that I was able, despite the fact that Imam Ali mentioned that I am abdun, faqirun, dhalil, I could not able to bear the punishment and wrath that come with your wrath. I could not able to hold those things. It is not possible for you. I am weak, I am daif, I am faqir, I am like this person. But Imam said that, suppose that I could able to bear this punishment from your side, but how is it possible that I could able to hold your firaq? But I have to ask myself that, is there a specific affinity between me and my Lord? Is there a specific type of connection between me and my Lord that I can say like the way Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or no? If not, then I have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give me the opportunity, give me this tawfiq that I should become like this. Otherwise, it is not easy for us to pass through this world that is there we are living in and become the true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill our responsibilities for which we are created. We have to do the tawassul. And these words of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are specifically a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam on us, that they are there in front of us. But we are not right now getting maximum benefit from these words of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are reciting these words of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, especially the du'as of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wa salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam. That it should not be the case that only we should read with our tongue, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq so that we can ponder upon the meaning of these words and inshallah try to actualize those ma'arif that are mentioned in these du'as in our daily life, inshallah. Please recite a salawat. In today's discussion, I would try to point out one important topic that maybe it is not discussed as much, especially when we talk about the Karbala and the Imam Hussain alayhi salam. This topic is not too much discussed among our majalis, but inshallah, despite the fact that we have not too much time, but inshallah I will try to focus on this point and try to convey the message as much as I can. While Imam Hussain alayhi salam was going towards Kufa initially, on the way Imam alayhi salam met a poet whose name was Farazdaq. And Imam alayhi salam asked Farazdaq that, what is the situation of Kufa right now? Can you please tell me, can you please inform me about the situation, political and social situation right now in Kufa? The reply of Farazdaq was quite interesting. And Farazdaq said like this, مِنَ الْخَبِيرِ سَعَلْتُ. I have asked a person who is well aware of the situation of Kufa, and he replied to me like this, قُلُوبُ النَّاسِ مَعَكْ وَسُيُوفُهُمْ مَعَ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ. That the hearts of the people are with you, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, but the swords of the people are against Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and are with Bani Umayyah. And practically speaking, we also saw this, that those people who stand against Imam Hussain alayhi salam, they were not, most of them were not the people who has the animosity towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There were a lot of people who has signed the letters towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And on the day of Ashur, Imam alayhi salam call them with their name and ask them that you yourself have signed these letters, and on the basis of that I came towards Kufa. Now what happened to you? Why you are not helping me out? Why you are not supporting me? Not only that you are not supporting me, not only that you are not saying nothing against me, but you go one step forward and you are standing against me. You are becoming the part and parcel of the enemies and the army that is standing against Imam Hussain alayhis salam. And not only that, the atrocities that are performed by these people, we do not have any example of that in the history anymore. The question is that how all this thing happened, that those people who call themselves as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they know Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, they have a superficial level of love of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam in their hearts, how come they are standing against the wali of their time? This is a very important question. This is a very important question that we have to ask from the history. And it is not just about a historical fact that we are asking, but it is a question about us today, the people who, like me, who are calling themselves as the religious people. They are satisfied, they are calling their imam, and they think that they will support their imam. I have to ask this question to me, that what are the signs with which I can tell that I am the true follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, and when I have to pass through the hardships and the difficulties, I will stand with Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. This is a question I have to ask. If you say that, okay, we are praying 5 times a day, we have the examples, the people who were standing against Imam Hussain alayhis salam, they were calling at that time, that try to, na'udhu billah, kill Imam Hussain alayhis salam as soon as possible, because we have to pray Salatul Asr with Jama'ah. So now we have to ask our question, that what's going on there? If we say that, okay, I am performing the Hajj and it will save me, and this will show that I am the true follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam, we are saying at the time of 9th of Zilhajj or 8th of Zilhajj, when Imam alayhis salam was asking that it is not the time to perform the Hajj, you have to leave and you have to defend your imam and the wali of your time, the people were saying that no, we are performing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were not ready to support the imam of their time. Now the question is that, the main question that I want to ask you is that, how is it possible that those people who are calling themselves as the follower of the religion, those people who are calling themselves as the follower of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they themselves stand against the wali of their time, and how I can save, or we can save ourselves from this specific problem or disease? And it was not only for Imam Hussain alayhi salam that it happened, but after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, at the time of Rasulullah, the fight was mostly between the Muslims and the Kuffar, the non-Muslimin and the Mushrikeen. But Imam Ali alayhi salam and the progeny of Imam, the sons of Imam Ali alayhi salam, all have to fight or defend, and their opposition was coming from the Muslimin themselves. At the time of Walaya of Amir Mu'min, when Rasulullah has announced the Walaya of Amir Mu'min with this sentence that Man kuntu mawla fahadha aliyun mawla, after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Al-yawm ya'isa alladhina kafaru min deenikum. Now the kuffar do not have any hope in the religion of Islam. They cannot do anything, but they have a specific hope with you, and that is the munafiqeen among you. Those people who have the form of the Muslim, those people who have the name of the Muslim, those people who have the title of Islam, but they do not accept complete Islam in the comprehensive way. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned in Quran, نُعْمِنُ بِبَعْثٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْثٍ. There are a lot of people who are apparently become Muslim. They have accepted Islam. They come in the fold of Islam. But when it comes between sacrificing something, at that point they are not ready to sacrifice their life, their kids, their family. There are so many things in the path of Islam because they do not understand Islam in that comprehensive way. Now the question is that how, first of all, I have to ask this question to myself, that how I can save myself from this issue. And then collectively also we have to ask this question, that how an ummah, a community, a group of people who are saying that we are the follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, can truly say this in a true sense, and when they have to pass through the difficulties and hardships, they can stand with the Imam of their time, they can stand with the truth. It is not just with the tongue, as Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, "An-nasu 'abidu ad-dunya wa ad-deenu la'ikun 'ala al-sinatihim." That there are a lot of people who are saying that they are the lover of Ahlul Bayt, they are saying that they are the true follower of Islam, but in the true sense, they are the servant of this world, this materialistic world, and deen or religion or these names are just a thing on their tongue with which they are just getting benefit from it. It is not that truly they are the true followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and Islam. Now again, this is the question that we try to answer today, that what was the disease of that time? When what is the solution? How I can solve this issue? What is the way with which I as an individual, we as a community can able to solve this problem and able to set to find out the way, the right way with which we could able to be steadfast on the time when we have been tested in a true sense. Recite a salawat. And we have a lot of riwayat about the end time, that at the end time the people will be tested again and again and again. And in those riwayat, Al-Bayt alayhimus salam has mentioned that majority of the people, when they have to pass through this filter, they with the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, with the path of their Imam and the Wali of their time. Brothers and sisters, one of the important things that is mentioned in the riwayat and in the ayat of the Quran again and again, it is known as taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if I want to be true follower of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually, it is mentioned that you have to become muttaqi, that you have to have this virtue of taqwa in yourself. When you are becoming, when you become muttaqi, then it will give you the strength to save yourself from the a lot of sins and things which are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will become a shield that can become a defensive force for you, and it will defend you from all these attacks that are coming from the external world. This is called taqwa, and the simplest of the meaning that is mentioned in the riwayat, I can define taqwa like this, that we have to feel that we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the definition of taqwa. But there are two dimensions of taqwa. One taqwa which maybe it is discussed sometimes in our majalis, in our books, and this type of stuff, is called individual taqwa. That each one of us should become muttaqi. Each one of us should keep in mind that we are the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to follow the instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is another taqwa that is known as collective taqwa, that we, not as an individual, but we as an ummah, we have to become muttaqi. And this ayah which is mentioned in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. It is telling us the collective taqwa that we have to be careful about. Or so many ayat in the Quran, like the last ayah of Surah Ali Imran, which Allah Tabatabai said, this is one of the most important ayah in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا. That It is not about that you just as an individual have to be steadfast. But sabiru means that you have to help each other. We have to support each other to become the muttaqi, to keep in mind that we are the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or in Surah Asr, you have recited a lot of times when we say, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, that all the humanity are at the loss. Each and every human being are like this. Illa alladhina amanu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the exemptions, He mentioned the exemption in the plural form. He did not mention that each individual has to perform this thing. No. Alladhina, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when He is saying that innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. That these are the not person that, okay, they have the iman, they perform the amal salih, they do not stop here. This is the half of this thing, that okay, first of all, I have to work on myself. But I do not have to stop there. I have to continue and I have to go to the next two steps. And when you perform all these four steps, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you are those people who save yourself from that loss, which all, each and every human being are, which will fall in that specific trap, that in al insana lafi khusr, all of the human beings are like this. Now, this is quite important for us to understand that what do we mean by collective taqwa? How we can achieve that state that we are helping each other to go on the right path? That we have to help each other, to support each other in the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the collective taqwa of the ummah and the community, the most important and the smallest cell of the community which is there, and inshallah I will talk a few sentences about it, is the family structure. When you talk about the individual, I as an individual, and then we talk about the collective ummah, in the collective ummah there are small cells that are there, and those small cells are the family which is there. We have to create families which are the ideal families. When the families are the ideal families, then we could able to create the community which is the ideal community. So when we talk about the collective taqwa, one of the most important thing that we have to focus and understand is the family structure in Islam. What is the role of the family? How important the family structure is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we have to go back and see the role of the families and how a good family structure can save an individual from going astray and deviating from the right path. And you can see the examples, a lot of examples in Karbala. When we talk about, for example, Abdullah, in some of the historical books the name is mentioned as Wahab, and in some of the books it is mentioned Abdullah ibn Umair. But this guy, when he come to support Imam Hussein alayhis salam, he brought his wife and his mother with him in Karbala. And we see the reaction of these two individuals after the Shahada of Abdullah ibn Umair. When the wife came in the battleground and was saying these statements that, "Oh Abdullah, I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that who has blessed you with this specific jewel in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this specific crown, that you become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please pray for me that I should become the shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too." And it is mentioned in the riwayah that she become the only shaheeda in the battleground of Karbala. And then the reaction of the mother of Abdullah ibn Umair, that when she came back and she threw the head of Abdullah ibn Umair towards the army of Ibn Ziyad and said that whenever we give something in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not take back those things. It is given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is the amana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. This is one example which we have seen in the battle of Karbala. And the Ahl Bayt of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were the example for all of us. That Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the statement that I have read in the beginning, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam has clearly tell that on one hand he told about the companions that there is no, I could not able, la a'lamu, I do not find any companions who are better than the companions which are given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are there like this. But on the other hand, right after that, Imam said that it is not just about the companions, but my Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, my family, my wife, my sister, my daughters are also the best among all the family members that is given to all other Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. But the way they have stand, the way they support Imam Hussain alayhis salam before Ashur, and the way they presented the message of Imam Hussain alayhis salam after the Ashur, all of these things shows us the role of the family of Imam Hussain alayhis salam in the Battle of Karbala. And that's why when a lot of people were asking Imam Hussain alayhis salam, "Oh Imam Hussain alayhis salam, okay, if you have decided to go towards Kufa, if you have decided to stand against Yazid and Ibn Ziyad and Umar Ibn Sa'd, why you are taking the kids and your family and your sisters and your wife with you? Keep them in Medina, they are more safe here. Why you are taking them with you? What is the reason behind it?" Apparently Imam said that Inna Allah yara'unna sabaya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want, it is the mashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that this should be happen. And this decision is not that Imam Hussain alayhi salam was forced to do it, but Imam trying to convey this message that if this event should be happening in the best possible manner, I could not able to perform it individually. It is a collective act, and my family has to play a very important role in it. If they are not there, I could not able to complete this task on my own. My family has to play an important role. Now that's why we can see the role of the family of Imam Hussain alayhi salam so beautiful. I am saying that before Karbala also you can see that, but after Karbala, the role of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, the role of Umme Kulsum salamullah alayha, the role of Sakina salamullah alayha, the role of Ruqayya salamullah alayha, the role of the daughters of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the wife of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, all of them shows us that we have to prepare ourselves not as an individual but as a family to serve the Imam of our time, to become the true follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. I as an individual, my wife, my kids, all of us have to prepare ourselves like the family of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We have to follow the seerah of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And there we can see so many examples in Sham and in Kufa, where we can see that these small kids, 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, how strong they were. They were not the kids who would just start crying in front of these oppressors when they start hitting them, when they start doing so many things with them. You could not able to find one single statement in Maqtal which say that these kids start crying and start saying something in front of these oppressors which shows that they are becoming humiliated in front of them. Know the slogan of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where Imam said that Hayhat minna dhilla. This statement was not just the statement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam as an individual, but Imam Hussain alayhi salam was able to penetrate that spirit in his family and his followers all together, and all of them has become like this. Now if we want to become the true follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, if we want to become the true Shia of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, this structure of family is one of the most important structure that we have to work on. Unless and until we could able to create the ideal families, where if a man is going and deviated from the right path, his wife is standing in front of him like the wife of Zuhair and ask him that, "Where you are heading to? Why you are not following the path of your Imam? You have to go and support your Imam." And if the husband asks that, "What will happen to you?" He said that, "Don't worry about me. I will be more concerned about my hereafter than this world. That if on the day of judgment Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha will ask me that, why your husband did not support my son, what will I reply at that time?" So you can see that if a husband is going on the wrong path, the wife is standing and supporting him and saying that, no, you cannot do that. I am here. You have to support the imam of your time. And in the same way, that if the wife is going astray, then the husband is standing and saying that, no, all of us as a family are the servant of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We are the one who have the role model like Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We say that, Assalamu alayka ya Ahl Baytin Nabuwa. We are talking about the family of the Nabuwa. We are not talking about that individual. When, you know that Surah Dahr or Surah Insan, when in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that three different type of people came on the door of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. And the first day when Imam Ali alayhi salam stand and give his bread which was there in the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam to this poor person, it was not Imam Ali alayhi salam as an individual. Right after Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was the wali of the house, the wife of Imam stand and follow the footstep of her husband. Then the two sons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, came and followed the step of their father. And then the servant of this house, which is Hazrat Fizr salamullah alayhi, also followed the same footstep of his master, her master. So you can see that as a family, they were following the lesson and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were looking at their wali, at their imam. And whatever he was doing, they were following the footstep of their imam. Now, as I mentioned to you, that this is quite important for us to understand that what is the role of family, how an ideal family can support each other to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and vice versa too. When we look at the Bani Umayyah, when we look at the example of who the people who stand against Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, a lot of times the role was played by the family. It was not the individual who do not know that what is the right and what is wrong. But because he was not getting the support from the family, he could not able to stand in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we come to the family structure, there are so many things that we have to talk about, so many dimensions which are there that we have to talk about, and we have to discuss, we have to analyze, and we have to find out that what is our responsibility. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we start feeling that as far as the upbringing and upliftment and the tarbiyah of our kids are concerned and our families are concerned, maybe the institutes, maybe the centers, maybe different type of organization that we have built, they have the responsibility for the upbringing and the tarbiyah of our kids and our family. No, brothers and sisters, the role of the family cannot be replaced by anything else. It is not possible at all. The responsibility of the family is still there. Despite the fact that we create so many other institutes outside the family, some of them are necessary, but still the role of the family is quite important. Right now, before the Muharram, the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei has called all the organizations in Iran who are working on the family structure, and he has a very important discussion with them, and he asked them, you have to focus on the family structure. I myself was thinking that, okay, they are living in the Islamic environment. They are living in an Islamic state. One of the Islamic state that is the only one Islamic state that we have right now is the Islamic Republic of Iran. They are living there. He is emphasizing too much on the family structure. If the kids are going outside, wherever the kids are going, the Islamic environment is still there. They are supported by this Islamic environment. But he already mentioned that in that specific discussion that the role of the family is still there. If you are not taking care of your family at the home, do not think that they will become the true follower of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. They can become the true Muslim. We who are living in this society, which is completely going against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is taking us against the teachings of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, how is it possible that we can say that no, the role of the family is not that important? No, brothers and sisters, in the upbringing, in the collective taqwa, the most important role has to be played by the family structure. If the family structure is not working in the best possible manner, you can see the results in the society too. And you will see that the people and the Shia and the followers that we are looking outside, they are not the ideal followers of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. But vice versa, if we are able to create the ideal societies, if we are able to teach our parents that how to upbring the children, and vice, and on the other hand also we have able to teach the children that what is their responsibility in front of their parents, then you can see that what type of family and what type of individuals that we are creating through these families. These are the ideal places. These are the places that we have to work on. And if the family structure is the ideal family structure, then you can see the results too. And as far as the worship and the ibadah is concerned, as far as the different dimensions of human life is concerned, you can see that Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam has mentioned that you have to fulfill all these dimensions at home. Like for example, I'll give you one example. Let's see that for our physical need, we need food for the upbringing. We need to cook something, to eat something, because it is our necessity, it is our need. I cannot live without food for maybe for a few hours. After a few hours, my body needs it, and it is required that I eat something. So my physical body needs some requirement. So suppose that I'm giving you this example, that suppose that at home, if we are not cooking the food, what we do? We go outside, go to a hotel, a restaurant, buy something or eat there and come back, okay? So if the food, the need of our physical body is not ready at home, what we do? We go outside and try to fulfill that. Same as the physical need, when it is not fulfilled at home, we go outside and try to find out the way out. If the spiritual and other emotional needs are not fulfilled at home, you will see that it is the natural need. We have to fulfill it at home. If it is not fulfilled, we have to go outside and try to find out the alternates for that. Sometimes we find the halal alternate, and most of the time we found the haram alternates for that. But there is a need in all of us. There is a requirement for all of us. And if we could not able to do that, you can see that the results are devastating for the family, for the society as a whole. And you can see that right now what's happening in the Western societies. Because the family structure is destroyed, you can see the consequences in the society, what's going on. And if we are able to revive that, and we are able to create the family on the basis of the teachings of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam, then we could able to save ourselves. Otherwise, we are also the part of this society. Slowly and gradually, we will be having the same problems that we are facing and we are seeing in the media right now in this society. So now you can see that there are so many ahadith that we can talk about, but I'm just giving one or two examples which shows you that how important this structure of family is in the eyes of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. Please recite a salawat. I'm just giving you a few examples. Like there are riwayat which are mentioning that if a wife or a husband spend whole night with his or her partner just talking, just randomly talking, how are you, what's going on, this does this thing, the thawab and the reward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is mentioned in the riwayah that if a wife or husband spend his or her night like this, just talking with his or her partner, the thawab in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that this person is spending his or her complete night in itikaf, in Khane Kaaba, doing the ibadah. See the comparison between, there are three important things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning, that you are in the state of itikaf. Not itikaf anywhere, in any mosque, no, in the holy Kaaba. And not just you are sleeping there, but in the itikaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you are doing the Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam, then you are doing the ibadah. As compared, what you are doing at home, you are just spending your night with your wife, just spending and talking to her. Why is it so? Why is it so that importance is given to this act, which according to us is not that important? It means that I am not doing anything important here. But on the other hand, if I am doing the itikaf in Khane Kaaba, I start feeling that, oh, I did something extraordinary. I did something special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we could not able to understand the importance of family in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how important role it is playing in the spiritual upbringing of a person and an individual. We do not understand that. We have riwayat which are saying that as many times as you kiss your child, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase one of your daraja closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become muqarrab in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have riwayat where a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And proudly he said in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have 10 kids and till now I never kissed my kids. Rasulullah said that go away from me. Don't stand here because there is a possibility that the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revealed on you, will come on you and just go away from me. Because this expression of love with the kids is actually the love that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. It is a natural thing. You have to express it in the right form. Because if you are not doing it at home, this child is thirsty. This child has a need and he has to fulfill that need. He will go out and he will do so many other things that is available in the society right now. Now, what we are trying to understand is that the way we have started this discussion is that one of the important things that we want to understand is that why there is those people who call themselves as a follower of Ahlbayt alayhimus salam, they are not standing with the Ahlbayt alayhimus salam and the wali of the time when their hardships are there. And we talk about taqwa and we say that there are two dimensions of taqwa. One is individual taqwa and one is collective taqwa. In the collective taqwa, we say that one of the most important role that collective taqwa has to be played by an institution, a group of people, is the family. And in the family, we mention that when we look at the riwayat and the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is most emphasis by Al-Bayt alayhi salam that we have to understand the responsibility that how I have to play my role as a husband, how the woman has to play the role as a wife and a mother, how the kids have to play their role as their children, and then we as a family become the true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our role model is Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and specifically the actions and the things that are performed in the Karbala. So while we are reading the history of Karbala, on one hand we have to look at the seerah of individuals, but on the other hand, it is also important for us to look at this event as the event where a family structure is at the most, in the best format, it is trying to defend the wali of their time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that during these nights of safar, which is specifically related to the family of Ahlbayt alayhimus salam, family of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, give us the tawfiq to create a family which is the ideal family in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. And we should able to understand the importance of family and try to understand the role of each individual which is there in the family, inshallah. Recite the salawat. جیسا کہ میں نے آپ سے کہا کہ سفر وہ مہینہ ہے کہ جو امام حسین علیہ السلام کے خانوادے کے ساتھ, امام حسین علیہ السلام کی فیملی کے ساتھ, امام حسین علیہ السلام کی بہنوں بیٹیوں اور گھر والوں کے ساتھ منسوب یہ ایام ہے, جس کے اندر امام کی گھر والوں نے مجھے اور آپ کے سامنے ان آئیڈیلز کو پیش کیا کہ جس طرح سے زندگی گزارنی چاہیے, کہ جس طرح سے سختیوں میں انسان کو رہنا چاہیے. اور یہ جو ایام سفر کے ایام ہیں, شاید تاریخ کے سخت ترین ایام تھے اہل بیت علیہ السلام پر, اور مجھے اور آپ کو ان کی برکتیں بھی نظر آتی ہیں کہ جو کام ان ہستیوں نے کیا, آج جو اربعین کی رونق مجھے اور آپ کو نظر آتی ہے, وہ شاید وہ کارنامہ ہے کہ جو حضرت زینب سلام اللہ علیہ نے کوفہ و شام کے اندر انجام دیا تھا. मैं शाम के चंद मसाइब के जो मक्तल के नज़िक में आपके सामने बयान करूं, मैंने कहा कि शाम सख्त तरीन मकाम अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम के लिए। शायद वो मकान, वो शहर कि जिसके लोग इमाम अली अलैहिस्सलाम के दौर से अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम से दूर रखे गए थे, बल्कि अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम की एक नेगेटिव पिक्चर उनके सामने पेश की गई थी, वो शाम के लोग थे। यहाँ तक कि जब मेरे मौला को मस्जिद कूफा में ज़रबत लगी थी तो शाम में चहमेगोयाँ ये थी कि अली मस्जिद में क्या कर रहे थे। उस ज़माने से अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम से दूर रखा गया था। अब इन अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम को शाम के दरबार में लाया गया है। यजीद शराब में मस्त अपना दरबार सजाए हुए अपनी फतह का जश्न मनाना चाहता है। रिवायत का जुमला यह है, मक्तल का जुमला यह है कि इन अहले बैत अलैहिस्सलाम को शाम के दरबार में लाया गया और एक रस्सी में तमाम लोगों के गलों को या हाथों को बांधा गया था। मेरा आका और मौला गैरत का इमाम इमाम सज्जाद इनके हमरा मौजूद था, जिनके हाथों में बेड़िया थी, पैरों में खुस आहन लोहे का जो है वो आहन बांधा हुआ था। इस सूरत हाल के अंदर मेरे मौला को लाया गया। रिवायत का जुमला ही इस मौके पर यजीद तलब करता है कि इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम के सर को लाया जाए। एक दश में मेरे आका मौला के सर को लाया गया। तारीख का जुमला ये, यजीद ने एक छड़ी को तलब किया, मेरे मौला के दंदाने मुबारक पर छड़ी को बेड़ा शुरू किया। एक सामने रसूल खड़ा होता है, कहता है यजीद ये क्या कर रहा है? मैंने अपने आंखों से रसूल को इन होठों के बोसे लेते देखा। मैं कहूंगा ऐसा भी रसूल, एक बार रसूल को बोसा लेते देखा, अरे तुझसे बर्दाश्त नहीं हुआ। हमारा सलाम वो जैनबे कुबरा पर जिन्होंने अपना बचपना रसूल के हाथों पर हुसैन को खेलते देखा, कभी हुसैन के गुलों के बोसे देते देखा, कभी हुसैन को रसूल के कंधों पर सवार देखा। एक बार मेरी बीबी ने फरियाद शुरू की, वाह मोहम्मदा, वालिया, वाह हुसैना। मक्तल कहता है, अरे वो दरबारे यजीद जिसमें कोई अली को नहीं पहचानता था, सब लोग रोना शुरू हो गए, सब लोगों की आंखों से आंसू जारी हो गए। ला यौम कयौम कया बाकी فسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون। बार इलाह हमारी इस कलील इबादत को अपनी बारगाह में कबूल फरमा, हमें हमारी औलाद को हमारे घर वालों को मोहब्बान मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद में से करार दे। इमाम ज़मान अज्जला ताला फ़रजहु शरीफ़ के ज़ुहूर में ताजील फरमा, हमें उनके अंसार और आवान में से करार दे। मातम हुसैन।